Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Phil.
It's time for real talk.
Is he here yet?
No.
He said he was coming.
He did. All right. Is everybody recording?
I am recording.
I am recording.
Quit asking me that.
All right.
Recording.
It's like you don't even trust me.
Yeah. All right. I guess we should probably do this then.
Eh.
Whatever.
So what are you going to call me?
What would you like me to call you?
Well, it just seems, you know, Dr. Drang seems kind of stupid to call me. This is one of the times when having a pseudonym really seems dumb.
Professor Drang, clearly.
Herr Dr. Drang. He didn't spend 7 years at medical school to be called Mr. Drang.
We could call you Sam Spade.
Senator Drang?
My father is Mr. Drang.
I don't want to blow your cover. I did, actually, when Chip Sutterth was on a few times before he was comfortable with his last name, I just called him, hey, it's Chip. Chip from that podcast about Doctor Who.
That was a great sitcom, hey, it's Chip.
Hey, it's Chip.
Our next door neighbor Chip is here. Hey, yeah. Chip!
I mean, it was retooled as That So Chip, but it didn't work.
It wasn't That Chip, really.
Yeah.
That's somewhat Chip.
So anyway, I was just going to refer to you as the Internet's own Dr. Drang.
Every time you talk to me? Hello, the Internet's own Dr. Drang?
What
do you have to say, the Internet's own Dr. Drang?
I guess I would short it to Dr. Drang after that.
Doc could work.
Doc. I probably won't recognize that, but I'll try to remember.
Doc.
It may surprise you. In my real life, I don't go by Dr. Drang. It's kind of odd.
No.
What?
Odd.
You start going Doc, I feel like we got to go like full Back to the Future. Doc.
Doc should work, though.
All right. Sure, we can do that.
And I will be known as Paco.
Okay.
You keep telling yourself that.
Just don't call me Wilmer.
All right.
Oh, poor
Don't call
Alexico.
Anybody Wilmer.
Poor Wilmer.
That poor bastard.
I'll be Ice Pick. Fine.
Mm.
Hey, deep knowledge.
Deep cut there. Good magnum knowledge. All right, here we go.
I'll be called Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Recording.
Thank you, Steve. I was waiting for you.
I do want to point out to people who've been praising Asta, that dog gets a lot of screen time in the other movies.
Oh boy! Yay! Yeah. That means I can get Steven to watch it with me.
Yeah, not to good effect.
Wait until you meet Mrs. Asta and Asta Jr.
Yes.
Oh, seriously.
No.
And Spike.
A lot of bull crap.
Yeah.
Even as of the second movie, Asta, who was obviously very popular and was a big hit out of the first movie, they way overplay Asta in the second movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the great thing about Asta in this movie is you cut away, you see him do his bit of business, and then you get back
and
to the story.
It's done.
It's, you know, 15 seconds at the most.
Yeah.
It was actually the same dog in The Awful Truth with Cary Grant and that Irene Dunn.
Yes,
it is.
You actually... Yep. Referred to a cutting away to see a dog do his bit of business.
Well, it was pre-code.
The situation
it's okay.
to modern movies. Think of Despicable Me, then Despicable Me 2, and the movie that's all Minions is basically the Asta arc.
Well, that's why the second three movies are kind of incoherent. No. That's because...
And in the last movies, he doesn't drink at all.
That's right.
And those are awful.
Am I right that this is essentially the first example in film history of running a series into the ground, or one of the first? Because that's always what I've heard about The Thin Man, is that it's legendary for starting out good and then them saying, oh, people like this, and then we'll just do it until it's not good.
Well, here's the
this
thing.
And the Road movies with Hope and Crosby.
There's the Charlie Chan movies, the Mr. Moto movies.
Right.
I mean,
Did those start out good?
it's the Peter principle. I mean, you keep doing it until it's no good anymore.
Yeah. Right. The first one is called The Thin Man because it's about a case involving a thin man.
Yes.
The second one is called After the Thin Man because it was written by smart people. The third one is called Another Thin Man because it's about a case that is similarly notorious in the world of the movie. And then the joke at the end is, oh, we're expecting a baby. And then suddenly Albert Hackett and Frances Goodrich stopped writing them, and Dashiell Hammett had nothing else to do with them. And they went and made three more movies that are called Shadow of the Thin Man. Okay, that's sort of... And then The Thin Man Goes Home. And that's the one where they go, oh, Nick Charles must be the Thin Man. Nope.
In the fourth movie, the thin man is the baby, thanks to fetal alcohol syndrome.
Too soon!
Nikki Jr., no!
The second movie does start with them on the train, drunk.
Yep.
And from there on, you know, they figured out the template. They figured out, yeah, people like Nick and Nora, they don't care about the plots. And, you know, even the last three, I mean, yeah, they're not good. But the two of them are just delightful anyway. You enjoy being with these two people being fun.
Can I spoil the hell out of the second movie?
Oh, yes, please. Sure.
Okay, because you shouldn't watch the second movie. It's not a good use of your time. So the second movie is Jimmy Stewart in a very early role in his career, and he's playing the boyfriend in this where, oh, she's swell. And, except it turns out he's the killer in the second movie. And the ending of it is...
And he goes off and disguises himself as a clown.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, exactly. Well, eventually.
To, but then, and is invited to a dinner love. Party.
The end of it is him just doing the I'll kill you all! And it's Jimmy.
Oh, no.
And he falls out the window.
Yeah,
right?
Watch the last 10. Yes, he does. Watch the last 10 minutes of that movie, because you get to see Jimmy Stewart just lose his crap on the screen.
it is amazing.
It is delightful. You go, Jimmy Stewart, you're drunk. No, Jimmy Stewart, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, no. Oh, Harvey is ruined for me now. Jimmy Stewart is out of control.
Harvey did it. That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, bite your tongue.
Yeah. I think the problem with Another Thin Man, at least for me, well, I had never seen it before, or at least maybe I'd seen it in bits and pieces on TV when I was a kid, but I didn't really remember seeing it at all. And I watched it, you know, more or less within a few days of seeing The Thin Man. And maybe if I had watched it all by itself, or, you know, if I watched it 3 years from now, I might think it was okay. But watching it right after the first one, it's mm-hmm. just awful. It's just awful. There's not nearly as much. There's not nearly enough drinking.
No.
There's because the code had come in by that time. It's a post code movie, not a pre code movie. And the other thing is, it struck me that and we're not supposed to be talking about Another Thin Man, but what the heck, they focus too much on the story,
yep.
which is and of course Asta, my God, Asta must take up half an hour of that damn movie.
You know, he's watching that movie.
There's a love triangle.
With Asta.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
It was post-code. It was a code movie.
It was subtle, but it was there.
Certain things the code had forgotten about.
Yeah, Asta has a calling like card that smells of gardenias.
The dog that dare not speak its name.
I want to know, was popping balloons on the Christmas tree a thing at one point?
Balloons on the Christmas tree, was that a thing?
And they seemed to pop them as a fun thing.
I think that was to show us that he is good with a gun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then later there's more balloons on the tree, and they're, like in the party scene, there are people popping them off the tree.
With I think they're using cigarettes, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
And then we do have Asta chasing and popping a balloon. It's a balloon popping agenda, you guys. It means something.
Man. Oh, my God.
Cheap props.
During the pop gun scene where Nick is doing all his trick shots, you have Myrna Loy doing the greatest side eye possibly in the history of cinema.
Also, I like that he shoots the window out and no one really acknowledges it or says anything about it.
We're rich, whatever. He pretends to be asleep, then where am I?
Why is Tanner in the movie?
You mean Michael Palin playing Bob Cratchit? I don't know. He's there to be another guy that you think might kill somebody.
Another guy.
I thought when he was invited to the dinner at the end, he was going to pay off with something, but no.
No. He's another crook, not a thing in this movie.
Yeah, he is. He is. That's how he learned to be a bookkeeper.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, he's just there to be another suspect or something.
One of the things that I love about this is that, I mean, in its own way, it's inspired almost as many variations as Sam Spade, you know, because Marlowe came later. Mike Hammer came later. All the PIs come from that sort of basic archetype. And we have, I mean, they did Mr. and Mrs. North, and they did a Thin Man TV show that didn't work. because Peter Lawford is not William Powell. And, you know, you have...
Comparatively few people are.
You have Heart to Heart. You have Remington Steele and Moonlighting, which are very similar. I mean, they're not a married couple, but there's still the banter. There's still, let's have fun and solve a murder. It's not really about the mysteries. And almost none of them quite capture the same glee as the two of them do, as Powell and Loy. I mean, it's just the perfect chemistry. The only thing that I've seen that really has the same flavor of this, and it's only in books. They adapted one of them as a movie, and it's not very good, so don't even go look at it. But the books of Craig Rice, I think I've mentioned her once before. She was a mystery writer at the same time as Hammett and Chandler and all. She was in that first wave, and she wrote about a trio of detectives, a married couple who are very much Nick and Nora, and their friend who's a lawyer, and they drink even more than Nick and Nora. And all of her books are delightful. I mean, she called them detective farce. And if you enjoy the Thin Man movies, look for Craig Rice.
Yeah, you're getting pretty close to Murder by Death here.
If I recall, Hammett did actually help create a radio show called The Fat Man that was playing off of The Thin Man as a title, and the joke was that the fat man was the detective. Oh, if I recall correctly.
Sydney Greenstreet.
And in fact, to build off of Monty's point, there is both the Nick and Nora Charles parody in Murder by Death, as well as Sam Diamond in Murder by Death.
As played by
Peter Falk. I do enjoy that movie, even though the Peter Sellers role is unconscionable.
It is very unfortunate.
I find that's a phrase you have to say a lot, which is just the whole, I enjoy that movie, even though the Peter Sellers part is unconscionable.
and I mean...
He does a Charlie Chan parody throughout the movie, and it is uncomfortable to watch.
And Sam Diamond, he went off and Neil Simon went and made another movie about him that's nowhere near as fun as he is in Murder by Death.
Nope.
It just gets old.
That was a Nick Vavavoom moment at the end.
I had that in my notes, too. I totally had that in my
notes
about,
the crumpled newspapers around
Imagine
the bed.
Imagine just the amount of time it takes every night. All right, got to crumple up the paper again.
It's got to be fresh paper. It doesn't work if it's yesterday's paper.
You can't reuse it. It doesn't get that nice crisp crunch.
It just gets more and more crumpled.
It doesn't. It still doesn't have that nice
it won't be
crisp
as noisy.
Crunch, Steve.
Maybe that was a 1930s form of recycling, where, I've read the paper now. Time to use it as a defense.
It's better than the alternative. Which is leaving like shards of glass around your bed. That's a lot harder to deal with.
I wrote down like 20 quotes between the two movies. All of them were said except for the line, "Send me up a whole flock of sandwiches."
Yeah, and some coffee. Right. That was when he ordered the coffee. He figured like he needed to focus a little bit.
Yeah.
I had the one. I had how'd I kill him? I forget. Which
I had that too.
That you've manhandled me.
Oh, will you serve the nuts? I mean, serve the guests the nuts.
My goodness, we haven't even talked about the line that I use to toast people when I'm called to give a toast. I say,
what is that line, Phil?
Success to crime.
Yes,
is what I say.
In fact, when I saw that, I thought, oh, Phil says that.
Yep.
I like the "I've always been a liar, don't brag about it." And the one remark I didn't get to make, which is when they drug Humphrey Bogart, Sam Spade sloppy drunk as he just knocks everything over the entire room.
I quite liked the cheaper the crook, the gaudier the pattern.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Really, The Thin Man is a pretty unusual film noir type movie because it's got a hard-boiled detective who is never knocked out by anything but his own drinking.
Yes.
Yep. He's more over easy than hard boiled.
Also, I had in my notes the A for the Maltese Falcon. A, thanks for marking the one useful thing in the newspaper by circle. And when the captain stumbles in and dies, he tells Effie to lock the door, which is literally locking the door after the dead guy. Like, I don't know what's going to happen
might,
now.
So nobody else can come in.
Yeah. The business section of the San Francisco Chronicle still prints the shipping news the ships coming in. And when I buy a copy of the paper, I do impulsively circle the shipping news. point out little boats that are coming in. Oh, maybe someone will see this. And
well, I have a question for the people who live in the San Francisco area.
Yes.
Can you mail letters just by putting the word city?
Yeah,
city.
I like that.
Yeah, I wondered that too.
You used to be able to. I do want to point out the locations used in that movie are quite accurate. And I once stayed in the hotel that is name checked in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do like that. So apparently there's a continuity error with the scenery from his window, which is really great real estate because he can see the bridge really nicely.
You can see the Bay Bridge, right?
Except
there.
Then later on, not so much. And also, when they point out that the port, when they go see the burning down of the ship, it says Port of Los Angeles.
Oh.
I'm saying Los Angeles wow. Fire Department.
That's not the only problem.
San Francisco
is
a long way away.
In the ship burning, if you watch the fire hoses, they're just aiming them randomly, sometimes hitting the guys on the ladders.
And
that's
and
not it's random. Telling them to get off.
Speaking of the third man.
It's fun. And actually, at the beginning of the Maltese Falcon, where he gets shot and falls down the hill and stuff, and Steven's just like, "Oh, he fell into a back projection." Yep, that'll kill you every time.
If you go to the corner of Bush and Stockton, that back projection is still there.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous. Also, Miles Archer's body is still lying there in a ditch.
Speaking of the third man, I don't know if anyone follows the Next on TCM Twitter account, but they just tweeted. Because what they do is they tell you what's coming up next, but they give a little description. And the description is, a mad zither player follows an American throughout Vienna as he searches for a missing friend.
It's like, oh, no.
Accurate.
Yeah. They had a beautiful description for The Big Sleep the other day. It was a detective, oh, I don't know what happens.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
Delightful.